So we haven't talked to you for ages, Natalie.
I know. We've been crazy busy, see, with this project. So
the project?
Yes, which is the free career, direct career guidance service, which is the free career guidance for all New Zealanders.
As we were just telling Dennis, he wants to talk to his grandson about this. So, yeah, that's keeping you busy.
Keeping me very busy. So
And tell me what age range are you getting?
So, oh my goodness.
Just young people?
Real career lifespan. So right from people leaving school or university, you know, any kind of right through to people who are wanting to make changes to the latter part of their career, which is really also quite interesting. Am I not speaking in enough?
When you've been down to look at your, or tilt your head down to look at
I'm
your
just
phone.
Trying to find the She's telephone Googling. Number for the free career service because they changed it and I can never ever remember it now. You know, when it's ingrained in your memory for one thing.
Is it easier for me to type on
this
big computer?
No, I've got it here. So if you do want to access the free career service, and you don't have to talk to me, there's plenty of career practitioners up and down the country who are able to work with you remotely or face-to-face, depending on what your location is, call 0800 222 733.
Okay, 222 733. And so people of all age, how old is the oldest person, would you say, you've had?
So it's really interesting because I spend, so one of, well over their, what would we consider their typical retirement age.
Right, so 65 is the official.
65, 67, but I think this person... And they were responding to the sort of economic changes that we've all been experiencing lately, you know, with the increase in food and petrol and all of the other stuff, which is a whole other conversation for another person.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have, you know, an injection of cash into their bank account.
A bit more money. Then.
On top of their super. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually we were able, because when I talk about we, I don't work on my own. So when I work through the work and income offices, this is where I'm able to facilitate face-to-face services. Actually worked with one of the work brokers there to place this person into employment. And they had a really clear idea of where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do. And we were actually able to achieve all of that. So it was some seasonal work. Nothing too... not necessarily labor intensive, but the heavy lifting and all that part of it. So actually they got work in one of the berry farms recently.
Okay.
It would have been a couple of months ago now, but they were probably one of my more seniors, as it were. But actually I work with quite a lot of retirees that come in and they're like, I'm just not ready.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Imagine you get to 65 and you just stop. I know that used to be what happened.
I don't know. Like my mum and dad couldn't wait. They were counting down the days.
They'd have the camper van ready and that sort of thing.
Well, no, they'd moved to a different part of the country and they were just ready to go. They were ready. But saying that, my dad actually went back to work at 72. So he retired, couldn't wait, and then thought, oh, what have I done? And so he's become a builder.
Really?
Yeah, like really randomly. He's a very, very skilled craftsman and he's a self-taught wood turner and he's a huge perfectionist. So the stuff that he makes is quite incredible. And he, one of his neighbours was a builder and said, well, you know, do you want to, a lot of the older buildings that they have in the UK have got some quite unique you know, wood features and things like that.
So my dad,
like proper. So dad does all the sort of tongue and groove and is able to make things without using screws and things like that. Like he's quite a traditional. But yeah, when I went home in November last year, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hang about. I've got to go work.
You're like, what the heck?
Oh, okay. No worries.
What, I know two guys who must be around about 60 in our community who've taken up like building kind of work.
Yeah.
And one was working, one was like a draftsman architect and the other was a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And having been and worked in an office like they have, getting out and doing something physical has a real appeal to it. And also I think certainly as I get older I get sick of all the like forcing myself to do intellectual or administration kind of work. My brain doesn't like what I can't do is the stuff that's boring to me anymore.
You have that low tolerance to
brain's like no you're not you're not doing that.
I'm not quite there. I still get quite a lot of satisfaction from some of that boring work, like a job well done, but I do like to write a list. And quite often if I haven't actually done what's on the list. I'll just write a list of the things I've done and cross it off anyway. Satisfaction. I don't know, like a little dopamine hit.
Yeah,
there,
it's a dopamine hit. Yeah. That's a free and easy dopamine hit. Yeah,
it's like, oh, what have you done today? You know, made the bed. Boom.
Got up. Boom.
Standard. Read a book. Boom.
So, all right. So we get a little bit off track here.
We are.
Although that's good.
But I suppose mental health advice. You know, like it was interesting. I laugh about my dad going back to be a builder, but for him, it was definitely a sense of community that he felt maybe he was missing from not being at work.
Yes. Yeah.
Big problem solver, my dad, and he was an electrical engineer when he was in his full-time employment. So what he's doing now isn't too dissimilar, but it is quite different. And I think he very much enjoys the fact that he gets to do maybe something that might not have been open to him, you know, because he had a military career from a very early age. So potentially building is part of that, but that wasn't where he went on the ships. You know, he was in the Navy. So this is something that he really enjoys, and I know he gets this huge sense of satisfaction from that off-page, real-life creation and having that sense of maybe a legacy. You know, we laugh because he built a porch at the front of his house, which is a UK thing, like, you know, you guys, but this was, you know, we're getting photos of the porch. Like it's a new grandchild or something like that.
That's the face of the street. Huge, it's close to the street, so everyone knows. The whole neighbourhood will be talking about the porch.
Yeah, the porch. And they live in a really, really small town in Cornwall, so they definitely have a very strong sense of community. But I think that's the part, right? Like maybe as we get older, we want more choice and we want to do things that maybe weren't open to us before, or maybe we couldn't indulge in so much because of family obligations, mortgage obligations, you know, all of those different things. So there's actually some really interesting and very worthwhile resources if you're thinking about changing your life work.
Yes.
At a later stage. It's called Better Work in Later Life, and it's a website. Okay. So betterworkinlaterlife.com. And it's got all sorts of incredible information, you know, because the other side of it, and I do hear this a lot. I hear this a lot from people who are kind of entering that latter stage, not necessarily they're coming up to retirement where they feel like maybe they're, and this is a conversation I had this week, you know, I'm getting to 57 and my skills might not be, or I might not have that face that fits anymore. And you that's really that. Hard. So, yeah. You know, in essence, that's ageism.
Yeah.
So it's about how, you know, there's some resources on this website about how you might actually overcome that. Also, given the fact that, you know, that form of discrimination is illegal in the workplace. But hey, you know, but also just later life's plans. Like, what do you want? And I think it's also about saying, like, what are the things that you really don't want to do anymore? Because if we've got a real clear idea of what we don't want and a real clear idea of what we do want, we can actually look for opportunities.
You should know by your 50s what you'd like to do.
Well, actually, I don't. I kind of disagree with that.
You wish you knew.
I think there's a sense of obligation when it comes to employment, right? But there's also a sense of identity that's involved in the whole makeup of what we do and why we do it. So we can be very, very good at things and enjoy them very little. But if those things that you're very, very good at also come with a higher income, for example, or have a more available, you know, there's often times that I'll meet people who've spent their entire lives. Again, this is a conversation I had with somebody this week. So we talk about later life workers. Actually, this week, my week has actually been quite full now I think about it. Gentleman, he had a very long standing, very fulfilling career that had taken him internationally and nationally, all over in construction, specific form of construction. But he's like, I'm just getting to the end of my life where I don't want to be doing that anymore, but I want to do this.
Yeah.
And he had a really clear idea of what he wanted to do for these reasons. It gets me out and about. I still get to see people, but I'm not going to be responsible for leading a team. I'm going to be able to manage myself.
There's a lot of pressure and you might be over that.
The physical intensive, you know, in his current role, he's dealing with really big, heavy deliveries and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. He's like, I don't want to do that anymore. But it would be quite nice to deliver things to people, you know? Right. So I think he said wanted that sense of connection with his customers that he currently didn't have. And, you know, he just identified those things. And again, along with one of the work brokers, we started to, myself and him created a profile, his CV, updated it, give him a real sense of if, you know, what does it mean to you? Where do you want to be working? What do you want that to look like?
So here's another question for that stage of the career is issues of status. And we tend to think if we worry about status that we just shouldn't worry about status. But the reality is in our society, people will treat you differently depending on how they perceive your status. So if you've come from a high status job, it's really hard to let that go. And I suppose a lot of old people, especially the older you get, the more you're likely to feel sidelined by society or ignored
or
invisible. So I don't know. Does that come up, or is that just a kind of a subtext of everything?
No, I think it does come up. But again, when we think about maybe those high, like those jobs you're talking about, they also then come with that sense of, if I'm doing that, you know, am I able to move into consultancy? Am I able to move into sort of the contribution and to that profession in a different way?
Yeah.
You know, so policies, procedures, being involved in boards,
yeah.
You know, like Well or, you know, the...
There are many boards around.
Many boards, not yeah, like there are a many boards. Board game or I'm bored, but like you can be involved. So there's other ways with those kind of skills that other people can then contribute.
My father was a school principal, and he tried. He retired before 65, and he tried being a real estate agent for 3 months. But I think he didn't like being at the beck and call of people. To be honest,
because again, to me, what
he wasn't used to that,
and what I hear there is that somebody's in the wrong job.
Well, and he left after 3 months, and
it's
he ended
pretty
up
clear indication that he's in the wrong job.
And he left to do consultancy for the Ministry of Education, and he was parachuted into schools that were in trouble. And he didn't, and he was very open that he didn't have the energy to run a school, because he'd been running, like, he used to run higher
intermediate. His wisdom, his knowledge, his abilities were very useful in those situations. So again,
it had a short lifespan. He would be parachuted in, he'd solve all the problems.
Yeah.
Everyone would say, "Yay, thank you," and then he'd go off to the next one.
Yeah. And so I get that a lot. I do hear that a lot from people saying, "I just don't want the same sense of responsibility. Leave it to the younger ones."
But I also came across a school principal stacking shelves at the warehouse, and he was very cheerful. Saying he was done with that stage of life. He wants this low pressure job.
Yeah.
And I actually just saw Malcolm Cox, former principal of the area school, online.
I saw that video.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the link to it on Facebook.
Yep.
He's been carving.
We actually, from the community house, because I don't know if everybody, the listeners, but I'm quite involved with the Raglan Community House. It's a real place for my heart. And when our chairman left, Grant, we were able to gift him one of Malcolm Cox's carvings. Right. It's quite beautiful, very clever, very clever. And very in-depth knowledge about what they are and the symbolism. And I was just quite blown away by that video. Actually, I watched that yesterday. So there you go.
The first piece of work of his I saw was for a new sports trophy at the school, and it was named after Richard Kerometa, who died with an accident at the bridge.
Yes.
And so Malcolm had carved
beautiful.
There was two parts to it, and I'm not sure actually, but then it was presented, and it actually went.
Here you are. There's another interview.
So Malcolm,
come
years
along
ago.
And talk about your work with.
We should do that,
Aaron, so that we can all. Learn more.
But I wanted to, this particular thing,
I'll just
this prize,
invite you on, the first, on Aaron's behalf.
The first year of the prize was given, it was given to two people. One was my daughter and the other was Richard Kerometa's little brother.
Wow.
So they jointly won that.
Oh, that makes me like well up a little bit.
Yeah, I know. It was such a meaningful little moment. And to have my daughter in the mix as well just added to it. But yeah, so that was something meaningful, really meaningful
and
that he did.
That
was still connected him with his community as well.
And that sense of meaning, again, makes me think of another person that I've been working with who was like, and they were quite past their retirement age, but had just continued to work but they said to me, so they'd spent a lot of time working in this one particular organization. And for most people, that kind of environment would have been quite challenging. You know, it was a cold, chilled environment. High pressure, lots of work, lots and lots of work. And they just said, just kind of sick of going to work and being so busy doing, you know, because we're on this conveyor belt that we don't actually get to talk or socialize. So their idea was that, you know, before they'd started having children 40 years ago, they were a bar manager and that's what they wanted to get back to. And so they were like, I don't worry so much that I know I'm not going to get paid as much as what I'm getting paid now, but actually it's about going to work and being able to talk to people. And have a connection, because currently I get up, I go to work, the same people are on my breaks at the same time, and that's great. But after 10 years of working together, we're kind of running out of things to say at lunch break, which is, you know, fair enough. And so I think that sense of meaning, but for me as a career practitioner, I think, you know, I really encourage people to try and find that sense of meaning in any work that they do. And I mean, the flip side to that is obviously we can't necessarily, because of the subjective nature of our lives and the demands that are placed on them, we don't necessarily always get to do what we really want to do, right? You know? But if we can, our work can somehow support that in other ways as well. So through hobbies and volunteering, you know, how we work and the way that we work can be very personal to us. We might have a 40-hour a week job and then come volunteer at the radio station because that makes what we do for our 40-hour a week job a little bit more worthwhile, because actually this enables me to do something that I really enjoy doing. Yeah. You know, so I always encourage people to think about that through hobbies, through and I think, again, the little ecosystem that is Raglan is a great representation of people's creativity and the way that they have turned maybe what would we perceive as side gigs into income generating.
Well, that's what I did.
Expressions. But again, you know, you walk around our galleries and you can see people investing in something that makes them happy. But maybe when you talk to them and go, oh, well, I do this for a job, but this is my life. This is my passion. This is something that I really, really enjoy. So it compensates for maybe not having that fulfillment or satisfaction in the job that I do on a daily basis. I don't know.
Most of the people I talk to are, it's about there's side gigs involved somehow. I talk to a lot of musicians and artists, so that's necessary.
Yes,
but but then I talk to
a portfolio career is what that might be teamed as. You know, nice something that's actually made up. Your income is made up of different sources. So I'm working with one gentleman at the moment who is a performer. Has got some pretty extensive qualifications, but like he said, you know, when we start to hit tougher economic times, if families have to look at where they can cut back, so music lessons, for example, might be a way that families cut back. So he's looking at what he would call, he's termed his recession-proof job, because he knows that potentially he's never going to earn enough money through his passion of music career because of where he lives and what he does and his family commitments. But that's like without saying that he's going to continue to be in the band that he's in that performs. But he wants a job Monday to Friday, maybe, that is going to give him a slightly different stability to his income than he currently has. Yeah,
so, and all those creative careers are the ones where you might not strategize very much. And there are things like Lynn Wilkins, who used to own Bizwork. She's actually just sold it, I think. But
well, so an accountant who's an incredible musician.
Yeah, and
language
she,
of money and the language of music. I love that.
And she and one or two others had a outfit called Arts Biz for a while, and it was advising, and it was that kind of advice, like how to work out if you can make a living from your art and how you're going to do it and how to do. You might have big dramatic pieces of art, but can you make some little things that'll have a high turnover?
Yeah, because you're looking at that economy of scale then, aren't you? You're applying those business principles to something. And I think, again, we have to remember with creatives or with anybody, you know, business skills are a very specific set of capabilities that actually we might need to learn if we're going to be doing those things. You know, alongside my profession is in careers, which, to be fair, is for me not necessarily a side gig, but it is like a passion. It is a job that I have come across that I really am motivated to do and to be involved in. But I wasn't necessarily as clear as my marketer, Auntie Frank, will tell you. Like, you need to think about the strategies involved in running your business to ensure that your income is more consistent and all of those things. So those things that I had to actively go out and learn to enable me to consistently to have an income. Said I didn't have that.
They try to teach that.
I wasn't very clear on that, but you know, there are a set of skills that can be developed alongside what you do for your passion.
And they try to teach this to young people when they're at university or tech or doing a course like this. You might be an architect, an engineer.
Yeah.
You might be an
artist.
But
here are those core competencies, those business skills. Yeah.
You want to be an independent video editor.
Yeah.
But how
do you make money out of that?
Yeah. Well, independent graphic designer. But you don't want to learn it at that age because you're like, no, I'm passionate about this.
And then technology like AI comes along and kind of changes the whole discussion of the way that actually, you know, the way that rolls. And I have come across and I have worked with people using AI to write CVs and things like that, which is really interesting. Yeah. So there's a couple of real neat tricks that you need to learn, but it's a really great way of generating, ways. It's like, I'm not saying go out and write your CV using AI. Well, I kind of am. But there are great ways of sometimes if you're not the best writer, to getting those things that you'd like to say out of your head, it's like an assistant.
Yeah.
But obviously always review, because it's not right.
Yeah, I know. The opportunity for mistakes. Should we do a session on AI? And is your career threatened by AI? Have you had anyone?
Well, no, not as feel, yet. People but feel threatened. Feel, and there is in the mix, you know. But one of the things that I always know is that people want people, right? And businesses might want more streamlined processes and things like that. But there's always a need for people. So it might mean that you're diversifying in your careers. But
optimistic point of view. Instead of thinking, that those people who used to hire me can now do this themselves, what is actually the case is for the same amount of money they used to spend, you can now do way more for them.
100%.
That's the positive way to look at it.
Yeah.
And if you can sell them on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that this particular person we were working, because they wanted I want to give this a bit of a go. So it was a real experiment between the two of us, was actually figuring out how you get that particular system to respond to your needs.
Yeah, because so it became a skill very personalized. To it. There's
oh,
there's skill
very much a skill
to using it.
Yeah. 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 And it was really interesting to come up. And a lot of it was like, wow. Probably couldn't have written that by myself, you know? Yeah. And they were like, wow, that's kind of what I was thinking. So I don't, you know, any look, at the end of the day is a power cut. AI doesn't work anymore. Right? Simple as that. You know, it can be turned off. Hello. But people can't be turned off. So I think with any tool, any resources, if you are able to master it and make and understand how that works, then it can be a very useful resource. But at the end of the day, you can unplug it.
You still, yeah. And,
you literally can turn it off.
And what I've noticed, I mean, this will probably change, but it will possibly change. But at the moment, you see it answer questions, you think that's really smart, but then it answers a question about something you know a lot about, and you're like,
okay,
it's not really there yet.
No, it's not. And so, you know, the more information it's fed, the better it gets. But I definitely think that AI will affect some people's occupations. Yeah, I mean, without saying, when you think about the way that technology has affected employment across the spectrum, like, you know. Self-serve checkouts at the supermarket.
Well, there's the whole,
for example, they, you know, one person stands there and there are 8 self-checkouts. So that's 7 people's jobs, those self-checking out checkouts.
Yeah.
Right? So there's lots and lots of ways that technology has streamlined and changed employment, but it can't go and fill the trolleys for our click and collect orders. So you see what I mean? Like, we still need humans to do many, many.
A new job.
So whilst we've taken people from the checkout and done different roles, there's still the need for human employment. I mean, that's just within the supermarkets as an example.
But there's also the fact that, like, the last 300 years, technology has been getting rid of jobs. And by now, there should be 2% of us left with jobs. But it's not how it worked. What we discovered is we could do more things, and we wanted to do more things.
Yeah.
AI
might improve the services that, you know, it might streamline services for a builder. But you physically still need somebody to do the job of building homes. Likewise for roads, it might be create better technology, better hot, cold tarmac or whatever the heck it is they use on these. But you still need someone to physically do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You still need someone to drive the vehicles.
But we should have a – do you think
– I'd have to do a little bit more research. I'll maybe get one of my colleagues to come along. And because we have another career practitioner that lives in Raglan now as well. And she also serves – and she's one of the committee members for the National Executive.
Ooh.
So maybe we could have – that would be a panel. We could have a panel discussion. AI.
Is it a panel if it's 2 people?
Well, there's you 2.
It's me. Yeah, I've had jobs.
I've got a big enough job for 2 people, so you can count me as 2.
Can I be a careers expert? I've had a career.
We're not experts, remember. Specialists. I really don't like that term, because even in my own world, like, I've got a lot to learn and I'm still learning. So I think the one thing that you understand about experts is they're the real people that know. The more you know, the more you need to know, or the more there is to learn.
What do you call yourself then? A careers?
I'm just a career development professional. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
He's worked in the industry for nearly 12 years now and serves on the National Executive Committee of the Career Development Association of New Zealand.
Ooh.
But we won't go there.
Not that we're out of time now.
So you're sorry throwing me off the radio again.
Just to get into the bit you wanted to tell us all about.
But don't forget, if you want to have any assistance with changes that you want to make to your career, 0800 – oh, where's the blooming number again, Aaron? 0800 222 733. That's a nationwide free career service to all New Zealanders, open to all New Zealanders who are wanting to make change to their working lives. You're coming out of uni, not sure where next, give that number a call.
I should just do it for the fun of it.
Ready to retire, give that number a call. Yep, anything in between, whatever you want. I've been working with somebody this week really awesomely who's going into self-employment, just whatever you need. And actually, maybe just for a chat, like, am I in the right place? Can you help me figure that out?
Yeah, that's actually worth thinking about because so many people aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
do that, if folks, you're in the wrong that. Job, maybe you're taking that job from somebody who wants that job. So what could be the right job for you?
Yeah.
You know, you
if
could
everyone
be quite
could shuffle around,
about it.
They'd all be happier. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right.
Thanks
for coming in, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Time to go. It's the end of the show for the day and the week. And in fact, I'm going to have next week off. We're arranging maybe some other DJs will come and do a morning show takeover. I know Paul wants to do one. And we'll see if anyone else wants, just kind of short notice, I know, but I won't be here next week, but I'll see you in a week's time.